If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Loki. Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki Season 2 is...
marvelous.
Great.
And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki Season 2. Now streaming only on Disney Plus.
You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Hello and welcome to Absent Minded. My name is Jared Book. The Canadians, as of this recording on Tuesday night, don't know what the record's going to be when you listen to this, but as we're recording, the Montreal Canadiens are undefeated. 1-0.
Amazing. Amazing.
watch them lose against Florida, and then this is like completely out of the window, but I don't care. I'm milking it for what it's worth, which is nothing, by the way. It's worth nothing. It's preseason. Joining me today is Julian McKenzie. Julian, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
We also have Namiko Hitotsubashi with us. Namiko, how are you?
I'm pretty good. There's hockey, so that's great. And it's cooled off, which is even better. And I am just back from the doctor's office and have new glasses. So it's a pretty good day all around.
New glasses are very important.
Means I can see all the season that much clearer, you guys.
Yeah, the thing about new glasses that they give you a new perspective.
They really do.
That's what they say. We'll transition from Namiko's eyes to another Montreal Canadiens eye, and that is Noah Juulsen.
Don't do that to me.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Namiko. But it's, you know, the first impression of Noah Juulsen going to get a second opinion on his eye is not good. Right, that our minds go to the worst place. You know, when you hear headaches and recurring headaches and things like that, and that's
concussion history and eye injury.
Exactly,
it's not good.
There's a lot of things that come up when you hear that. But seeking a second opinion doesn't mean necessarily worst case. It could just mean that they're going to see a specialist for a second opinion, and obviously, it's not good. He's obviously, you know, pretty far away from getting back on the ice in terms of the short term. I'm just glad he's getting this checked out, to be honest.
Yeah. And I think it's a little too early for, oh my gosh, this is it for his career. Like obviously everybody knows Noah Juulsen is one of my absolute favorites, and I probably worry about him more than is warranted, but like I think the reaction of everybody going, oh man, his career is over is a little premature, guys.
I don't think we're in that stage to say whether or not his career is over or not. Then again, you know, we only know what's on the surface. We're not Noah Juulsen.
Right,
we don't live through whatever concussions he may be going through on a regular or semi-regular basis. The headaches, I should say, not necessarily just concussions. But all that to say, first and foremost, for Noah, I hope for his sake he is able to just live as normal of a life as he can without this constant pain. And then after that, the next step is to hope that he can, you know, be a solid pro hockey player. I know maybe some people maybe kind of had him penciled in as an extra defenseman for the Canadiens this year. I kind of saw him more as a guy starting in Laval this season. But first and foremost with Noah, he just needs to ensure that he'll be all right and just, you know, not living.
Yeah, get him healthy first.
Yeah, health above everything, especially considering how grueling professional athletics can be. Health over everything for Mr. Juulsen.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing with well, again, we don't know the specifics of what's going on. It's been rumored that it's his peripheral vision that's causing him to have these headaches. Obviously, he had the eye injury, getting the puck to the eye, and the remnants from that. It could just be a matter of, you know, his headaches are caused by, you know, a sensitivity in his peripheral vision that, you know, don't come up until you get on the ice and things start going fast and things like that. And I don't want to speculate too much because we really don't know, but that's what the reports are. And I don't think this is, you know, concussion, you know, related.
It because, did sound more like eye. Than-
yeah, because you wouldn't see a specialist for a concussion. A team doctor on a hockey team is pretty much going to know what concussions are and how to treat concussions.
Exactly.
You know, for better or for worse. So I think seeing a specialist is more because of the eye. That's obviously the injury he had to deal with at the end of last season, why he was basically sat down and out of the lineup. So we'll see where this goes. But obviously, yeah, the important thing is that he can live a normal life without pain. The hockey is secondary, and you know, he can take some time. He's still young. The important thing is getting him healthy and getting onto a track of success for just day-to-day life, and hockey is secondary, as it always is with these injuries. We tend to think about things in a very black and white nature, and, you know, oh, he's out for 6 weeks. We don't think about the rest of the time. We only think about the 6 weeks that he's out of the lineup, right?
Mm-hmm. Also, I will add, Claude Julien earlier today did in fact say that it is not a concussion. So sorry for kind of mangling some of those terms a little earlier. They say he does not have a concussion, but the biggest point I was just trying to say is that he should be just looking out for his health.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think whenever you hear a hockey player of headaches, no matter what the team says, that's where your mind goes.
Mm-hmm. Especially for somebody who had history. Yeah, that's where your head goes no matter what, but especially if it's a player who's run into that problem before.
Yeah, absolutely. And the update on Tuesday in the injury history was not only Juulsen, it was another first round pick as well, Michael McCarron.
Poor guy. And
here's a guy who's trying to get back into the lineup, has a chance to maybe make the team in the end of the lineup. He had a really good year in Laval before another injury. This time it's not the upper body or shoulder, it's the groin. So maybe something that just he got tweaked either in the scrimmage on Sunday or in the weight room or something like that. Hopefully it's not too serious, but, you know, at this point, he's running out of time to make an impression. And I think, you know, even if he misses a couple of days, he's looking more and more likely to go to Laval as well. Not that I'm saying he should rush back to come back earlier.
No, but, obviously
but
not.
Because that's obviously worse, but no, I think that, you know, it's interesting because that's just another, there's so many bodies fighting for spots in the Canadiens, and McCarron is probably in the second half of that list. And now it's just even harder for him to try and make an impression at this point.
Yeah, you mentioned it yourself. There are way too many guys in front of him to even consider him starting with the Canadiens. We've thought of guys like Ryan Poehling and Nick Cousins and Nate Thompson and even Nick Suzuki. Potentially getting a look at center, and unfortunately for Michael McCarron, I don't feel he's going to be able to be able to get any of those spots there. I don't even see him necessarily. I mean, he's a top guy likely in the AHL if he's healthy, but I agree with you. I think he's kind of running out of time here. I think a lot of younger guys have shown and that they can play and they've impressed a little bit more than Michael McCarron, and a player at his time and what he's done to this point, to have him kind of be surpassed by other players is not what you want. So this injury is a bit of a setback for him.
Yeah, it's just really sucky timing.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess the good thing, in quotation marks, on a big picture scale, is that there was a time when the future of the franchise relied on Michael McCarron. It's no longer the case. Anything they get out of Michael McCarron at this point is bonus. Whether it's in Laval or whether it's in the NHL team, He is no longer the face of the future of this organization or its failures in a certain way. So, you know, the pressure's kind of off of McCarron. And even Jolson to a certain extent. I mean, he's another first-round pick who's struggled to stay up. Obviously, injuries is a big part of Jolson's struggles to stay in the NHL. But it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward with that as well. But it's not just Jolson. It's not just McCarron. Gustav Olofsson is hurt. Carl Alzner's hurt. And suddenly, all the bodies that are fighting for spots on the Canadiens' blue line, it's there's not that many names anymore. And guys like Cale Fleury, guys like Josh Brook are moving quickly up. It's a huge
opportunity for them.
Yeah, they're quickly moving up the depth chart. You know, Cale Fleury had a great game against New Jersey on Monday. He was probably one of the most impressive players, and he's been good through rookie camp as well. And there's a gaping hole on that right side of the Montreal defense. Cale Fleury, after a year in Laval, could have a as good a claim as anybody for that spot.
And it's great because some of these guys, obviously this is a big opportunity with so many injured defensemen, but they're also playing such that I think even if those guys weren't hurt, they would still be making decisions very, very difficult for everybody going down the road.
I have to agree there with some of those younger players showing out and trying to look for opportunities as well. I feel a little bit for Alzner and the fact that he just kind of similar to McCarron, where, you know, he's trying to rebound and trying to show teams, you know, he can at least play. And now he's, you know, battling a groin injury. He's got a setback there. Xavier Ouellette, a guy who's quiet, a guy who I don't think necessarily wants to start the year off in Laval, even though he might. Also trying to make a case for himself as well. Even though he's not necessarily a younger player, he's a veteran who very well, depending on how the season goes, depending on how depth could look on the left-hand side, maybe you could consider calling him up for a few games as well.
You know, for people who are watching the Laval Rocket at the end of last year, especially after he was named captain, Ouellette was one of the better players on that Rocket team. He was really leading the defense. That was a really young defense at the time, at least until Alzner got there and started playing a little bit more. But it was a pretty young defense, especially at the end of the year when Josh Brook started coming in as well. And yeah, Ouellette is a guy who, you know, last year, you think about how far this organization has really come in a period of 12 months. Ouellette played his way onto the team last year into that top six. But you look at what happened since then. They traded for Gustav Olofsson. They traded for Brett Kulak. They traded for Christian Folin. These are all guys who weren't around in training camp last year. And, you know, they signed Ben Chiarot. Obviously, Jordy Benn is out, who was obviously in that conversation as well. But there's a lot of guys now who are passing Ouellette on the depth chart through no fault of his own. It's just the Canadiens are a deeper team right now. And, you know, Cale Fleury wasn't really an option last year. This year, he's probably the top option in terms of young guys at training camp because of that experience. And it's gonna, no one's getting a spot on by default on this team. They're going to have to earn it, whether it's Mike Riley or Folin or Fleury or Brook or Ouellette, anybody. There's a battle for these spots, and it's not going to be easy. You know, Otto Leskinen is a guy who might. Obviously, he has a lot of people to pass. He plays on the left-hand side. He can play the right side as well. But he's a little bit maybe farther down on the depth chart. But he's another guy who could maybe impress a little bit more as well. And it's going to be interesting to see, because now with Jolson out, there really is a spot. Before, people would have to pass Jolson because it was pretty much his spot in waiting. Now, there's an opening. And they might be more willing to get a guy like Cale Fleury a good look, because he's really impressive in the short time. And Josh Brook has to prove that he's ready for the NHL, in my mind.
Is Jolson still waiver exempt?
Yes, he is.
Or is he? Okay.
Yeah, he's still waiver exempt. So he can be sent down even if healthy have any issues. Cool. This is last year, I think.
I mean, so that gives him a lot of flexibility.
It is. It is a lot of flexibility.
Yeah, even if he's hurt.
Yeah.
Just say he's hurt to start the season, and one of these guys takes his spot, quote unquote. even if he comes back and if they both play well, it doesn't, I mean, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's not like we're going to get penalized.
Right.
One way or the other for somebody else doing a good job.
Yeah, right. Because even Brooke or Fleury is waiver exempt as well. So they can go down, even if they, you know, they end up going down, there's no waivers there at all. So yeah, there's flexibility there. And that's what the forwards as well with Poehling and Suzuki. That's why people are looking at them as longer shots, because you risk not only, you know, are you not sure how they're going to play in the NHL necessarily, but you risk losing somebody on waivers when you can obviously send them down and keep the person you're getting. There's no guarantee that they're going to clear waivers. We saw it last year with Nikita Sherbak and Jacob DeLaRose and Kenny Agostino. All three guys who, and Laval.
Yeah, it got really crowded.
And Laval's death got really hit by that, because they were calling guys up but not replacing them when they were sending other guys down. This year, they're in a way different situation. They can have about 3 or 4 guys claimed off waivers, and Laval's still going to be really deep, especially up front. Defense, like I said, because of the injuries, it's a little bit more dire. But, you know, a week ago, we were wondering where David Sklenitschko was going to play, where Otto Leskinen was going to play in Laval. But now, with 2 or 3 guys hurt, you know, you're going to need guys like Maxime Lamarche, who's getting regular practice time with the big team, even though he's on an AHL contract. So a lot of things change really quickly. And that's why you need the amount of players the Canadians have, because injuries happen. Injuries happen. And you have to deal with that one way or another. Moving on we talked about defense. Let's talk about the forwards, because I mentioned this in the first preseason stock report on Tuesday that came out. Nate Thompson was a guy who I was like, okay, you know, he's a veteran, he's older, he can play on the penalty kill. You know, he'll be the 13 forward, you know, let somebody else take the spot on the fourth line. But he looks really good out there. He scored a goal on Monday night. He looks like he's thinking offensively. And he can get there. He looks like a better skater.
Big and physical.
Yeah, he looks like a better skater. He looks like he's moving better. And you know, competition brings out the best in these guys. These guys don't want to go to Laval. These guys don't want to sit in the press box. They want to play. And the thing that's really interesting, and you mentioned Alsner earlier, these guys are working on their skating. They realize that's the problem for most of them, is the speed of the game and things like that. They can work on things like that. That's something you can work on in the summer. And Nate Thompson looks like he's worked on it, because he looks like a different player than he was last season.
I think they mentioned on the TSN broadcast, Dale Weiss had brought up the fact that the game has in fact changed for players. It's not so much about being in the weight room and pumping iron and building up so much strength. Not to say that's still not an important part of the game. I mean, we have been talking about the amount of weight that Jesperi Kotkaniemi has been adding over the offseason, but Dale Weiss's point was to bring up the fact that it's a lot more about skating and trying to be a bit more speedier out there. And that's a reflection of how the game has changed over the last 2 years in the NHL, and how the Canadians are trying to go along with that. Instead of just being the slow grinding team, they're looking to beat people with speed. And it's totally fine to have a little bit of strength and grit, but in this day and age, if you are not quick, if you're not able to keep up with teams, you're going to get dusted out there. So it's good that some of these fourth line guys are working on their skating and are trying to show that side of their game. I thought Nate Thompson did very fine as a forward, got a goal, got some time on the penalty kill as well. That's a guy who, if the Canadians end up starting him on the fourth line, I don't think that's necessarily a bad deal. Nick Cousins also got himself involved in the contest as well. He added the empty netter near the end of the game. He got himself an assist as well. You know, we looked at a lot of those younger guys taking those spots. But Jake Evans, I didn't even bring up Jake Evans, who scored the game-winning goal, who, I mean, this is just my opinion here. Like, I'd like to see him get time in the NHL and play 4 or 5 minutes as well.
Really,
he looks
good.
Fine. He looked comfortable out there. And while I think it's totally fine if Ryan Poehling impresses so much and you put him up on the fourth line to start the year, or you have him as a 13th forward, I'd rather see him be the number one C in Laval if he's that good. And because Jake Evans is a little bit more seasoned, I have no problem seeing him kind of go up on the fourth line to start, or not necessarily start the year, but if you look at Jake Evans and you say, oh, you know what, let's call him up first before we call up Ryan Poehling again. That's just my opinion.
Well, and I mean, I can't remember who it was who said that, but like kind of riffing off of the fitness aspect of things, wasn't there a player who said normally they have one like absolute hell exercise at the beginning of the season and nobody's good at it and they all puke their guts out and nobody was having that issue? Like, I mean, to be fair, it was a preseason game against an ostensibly AHL team with a mostly NHL roster, but like, yeah, their passes looked like preseason passes, but it wasn't like, oh, he looks a step slow, or oh, he looks like he's not trying so hard. Like, the entire team from front to back seemed engaged and quick.
Yeah, I think it was Nate Thompson who mentioned the VO2 or the VO2 max test, and normally he sees guys getting sick afterwards, but nobody got sick on the Canadians, and he's like, maybe that's a good thing for us. I think it was John Liu who tweeted that on the media day.
I mean, obviously there are more important things to it than that, but
it's a factor.
Being in shape, being in really good shape never hurt anybody.
No, exactly. And you mentioned the weight factor, and there is a happy medium, because we mentioned Cale Fleury in pressing before. He lost 10 pounds since development camp. Charles Houdon lost 17 pounds over the summer as well. So it's a happy medium between having the strength to not be pushed off the puck and having the agility to not get beat. And I think if you look back at Charles Houdon's year last year, he was a guy who was just slow. And not that he's a slow skater, but just he seemed a step behind. And he realized that maybe the 17 pounds that he put on to get strength was not worth it in the big picture. So I think it is going to be interesting. And obviously guys like Kotkaniemi, who are, you know, very small, very young, you want them to gain a little bit of muscle. I think Kotkaniemi said that he didn't want to get beat up in the corners as much, which is why he put on more strength. But there's always going to be a happy medium. You know, you're not going to see guys who are going to show up to camp at, you know, huge weights if they can't carry that weight, because then they can't skate, and what's the point? You know, it's going to be interesting. Even guys like Shea Weber talk about the mobility that they need and things like that. So it's going to be a part of the game for the next few years as these younger kids get more and more ice time and the game changes. That's how it's going to be, you know.
Well, and we've seen it make a huge difference in the past too. Sorry, it's so loud. Just think about the difference between Devonte Smith-Pelly's first season with the Habs and the second season, where he went and he trained to play the kind of game the Habs played, and how, like, okay, maybe he still wasn't great, but he was noticeably better.
Listen, these guys have to compete for camps. No one's given a spot by default. If Charles Houdon, and you know, and he's playing on Wednesday night, he's going to be playing with Jesperi Kotkaniemi and Yoel Armia. That's a huge opportunity for Charles Houdon, you know, taking Paul Byron's spot on that line, because Paul Byron's not making the trip to New Brunswick. It's going to be interesting to see, because there's a lot to play for. And, you know, whether it's for, in Charles Houdon's case, whether it's Montreal or whether it's a trade or a waiver pickup, he wants to be in the NHL. And it's going to, you know, he has everything to play for. Everyone, all these guys have something to play for. Nick Cousins is coming to a new team after coming from Arizona. Jordan Wheel wants to not lose a spot that he claimed after coming over in a trade from Arizona. So it's going to be one of those things where there's actual competition, and, you know, guys like, you know, Phil Verone and Riley Barber, they didn't really stick out. Dale Weiss, you know, he didn't really show anything on Monday night. And if you're not showing anything, someone else will be showing something. So you're falling behind by not showing anything. And, you know, Jake Evans is a good example of that. I would say that in terms of a fourth line role, he's probably more NHL ready right now than Ryan Poehling or Nick Suzuki. Obviously, he doesn't have the upside of those two. But I would have no problem putting Jake Evans on a penalty kill and four flying. And it'll be interesting to see how yesterday's performance affects who he plays with going forward, because, you know, there are certain things that it won't necessarily make you have a spot on the team, but the coaches will notice, and the coaches will notice what Jake Evans did to win Monday's game. And that's something that can get you better line mates going forward. So, and obviously once cuts come as well, the lineups are going to be a little bit shaken up as well.
I mean, and for sure, I don't want to get too judgment happy before we see them play against a team that's where the NHL level, like, balance is a little bit more even. I mean, obviously that largely NHL roster preseason Habs have lost to AHL rosters, but several times recently. But I would like to see how they do against competition that will be a little bit more like standard level, I guess you could say, in terms of how they match up against the Devils when PK Subban is playing. Stuff like that, you know? Like, obviously, it's very promising. This is in no way to knock what they did, because some of the guys were really, really impressive. But I do also want to not get too far ahead of myself before regular I see them
season.
Play.
Regular season, man. Preseason.
Yeah.
Like, come exactly. on, man.
The whole thing is, though, that Montreal was missing two full NHL lines on Monday night.
Oh, for sure.
And
for
obviously,
sure.
As I'm comparing as well. So, you know, the bubble guys playing against bubble guys, that's where you can see, like, obviously, if Max Domi scored, you know, four goals in the game, it'd be like, oh, he's going to score 75 goals this year. No, obviously, that's not the case. But when Jake Evans plays well,
for sure, you know,
in a situation like that, that's where it matters. And,
I mean, I suppose, to be fair, the quote-unquote bubble guys on the Devils are fighting just as hard as the Habs are.
Exactly.
So at the end of the day, it does kind of even out.
I would put the Canadian depth, though, up against anybody in the league. And the Canadians would come out as on top. And obviously, they're missing out on the high-end talent. That's been the issue for a few years in Montreal. But I feel like if Montreal's 18 skaters, and I've mentioned this, I think, probably every couple of weeks on this podcast, but if you put Montreal's 18 skaters whenever the regular season starts up against other teams' 18 skaters, Montreal is going to have more depth top to bottom. They might not have the top end, especially when you look at a team like Toronto or even New Jersey.
Yeah,
you know. But
I mean, the other thing is, you can shut down one line.
Yes, that's where the advantage comes in. Absolutely,
way harder to shut down four really solid lines.
Exactly.
That's pretty much. It's so hard to kind of judge off of one game, essentially. And I mean, by the time you listen to this, maybe the Canadiens will play the second one, or they're on the verge of playing the second one, whatever. But like, it's a very small sample size here, and even what you see in preseason, I mean, it's not the regular season, but it's just good to see that some of the younger players are doing pretty well.
Well, and I was very impressed by Charles Hudon,
yes,
and Nick Suzuki.
Yeah, absolutely. That line with Jordan Wheel.
Oh, it was really cool to see Caden Primo look like Carey Price.
We didn't even talk about Caden Primo.
No, we didn't even talk about Caden Primo.
Okay, we got to talk about Caden Primo.
It was Mark Dumont who pointed this out to me in Belleville. He's like, watch Caden Primo. He looks like Carey Price.
He does. He really
does. Not that he plays like Carey Price, but he's just so calm in the net. And you watch a guy like
style. Say,
yes, exactly. You watch a guy like Charlie Lindgren or even Michael McNiven. They move more in the net. It's not to say that they're ineffective goalies. It's just
they're just more active.
They're more active, exactly. Whereas Caden Primo and Carey Price,
he's still, there's a minimum of movement.
Yeah.
And his lateral movement is amazing.
Yeah.
As we saw.
He's not going to make the team this year.
And that's fine.
Hopefully he's not going to make the team this year, because that would mean that at least two or three goalies.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, exactly. But he's going to be in the NHL. I have no doubt that Caden Primo will be an NHL goaltender. It might not be in Montreal, because they still have a pretty good goaltender in Montreal who signed for another 7 years. But Caden Primo will be an NHL goaltender. You can.
But as we have seen in the past, having really strong depth is always a good thing.
Absolutely.
And people always need goalies. So even absolutely. If we end up, I mean.
Yeah.
There have been too many goalie injuries the past couple of years. But, like, you know.
There have been many a playoff situations in Montreal that have been derailed because they didn't have a goalie to play behind Carey Price. Mm-hmm. And. Caden Primo is one of the guys who will be tasked with, you know, similar to what would happen, when Dustin Tokarski took over for Carey Price, right? They didn't want to go to Peter Budaj, so they went to, the third string goalie
instead of going to their Bach backup.
Right.
Starter in the A.
And you can see that kind of situation depending on how obviously Keith Kincaid looks this season, because obviously we haven't really judged him yet. But, you know, if he proves to be maybe more inconsistent than they would like, they might turn to a younger goalie than go with a goalie like that.
So, well, and it could always be that, say, halfway through the season, three or four teams suddenly lose their starter and are looking for a backup who could be a starter. And maybe Keith Kincaid played really well in a couple of games. And we were like, well, the Habs decide. Maybe the AHL can survive without him. He can be our backup. Like, who's to say what's going to happen? And it might not even be something from within the Habs that happens.
You can never have too many good goaltenders, especially when they don't all need waivers. You know, McNiven doesn't need waivers. Yep. Primo doesn't need waivers. Yep. Lindgren will. So that's a risk, obviously. But, you know, the Canadians are well stocked in goaltending depth, and they're good goaltenders.
So what's going to happen with Michael McNiven, considering how good Caden Primo's been? And even if he's not going to start in the NHL, he's shown to me he has a fighting chance at being a backup. Do you want him starting in the ECHL? Is that possible? I don't really know, but I think a lot of people might pencil.
Yeah, I always wonder what the Habs are going to do.
What are you going to do with McNiven?
The ECHL or the lack of the ECHL?
I think... They also have Connor Lacouvée, who's going to start the year in the ECHL.
Well, very likely, yes.
So pretty likely he'll start in the ECHL as well. Well, I don't know. You know, again, this is recorded on Tuesday night, so we don't know what's going to happen on Wednesday. But McNiven is making the trip with Charlie Lindgren to New Brunswick. If they don't split the two goalies like they did with Primo and Price, and Lindgren plays the whole game, and after McNiven didn't play in the scrimmage, he's also not going to play in this preseason game. That, to me, is basically the Canadians resigning the fact that Michael McNiven is not in their plans. Because not only are they putting him fifth on the depth chart, they're not giving him a chance to fight out of that spot. So as to what happens with him, I don't know. I really don't know. And obviously, a lot depends on whether Charlie Lindgren gets claimed off waivers.
If he gets to that point,
Yeah, because, I mean, if Lindgren gets claimed, because we're assuming that Price and Kincaid start the season in Montreal, right? I don't think that Lindgren can... I mean, the chance is there. If Kincaid really struggles and Lindgren is lights out, there is a chance that they flip the two.
I mean, we didn't think Dustin Tokarski would play Peter Budaj out of a spot.
Yeah, but also Peter Budaj wasn't signed that offseason specifically to back up Carey Price.
That's true.
So,
however.
Yeah, there's always a caveat, obviously. But if Lindgren gets claimed, and then, you know, you have Primo McNiven in the AHL, and the situation kind of resolves itself. If you have three goalies in the AHL, all prospects that you want to play, it gets a little dicey. And, you know, there's rumors about, you know, Julius Anka in Dallas. I don't know if they need a goalie, but Montreal has goaltenders to trade. But I think what you're going to see is you're going to see a trade, because Montreal has too many bodies. They just have too many bodies.
This is what we were talking about this preseason or during the offseason, like just the embarrassment of riches, having too many good options.
Yeah.
And how that's a really, like, as long as you don't squander them for nothing, it is a wonderful problem to have.
And the thing is that, you know, there's still some restricted free agents out there. Let's be honest. There are rumors linking the Canadians to Patrick Laine, you know, what, 2-3 months ago?
Can you imagine?
I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but I'm saying that the longer he trains in Switzerland...
Are you putting an E4 on those rumors, Jared Book?
No.
No.
All I'm saying is there's still unrestricted free agents who are unsigned. You know, Braden Point in Tampa, who we know Munchell was interested in, because they wanted to sign him to an offer sheet, or they were at least investigating the potential of that. He's still out there unsigned as well. As long as
there's
restricted free agents out there,
aren't signed right
you
now.
Don't know what's going to happen. And obviously, Mitch Marner signed, Brock Braser signed. You know, these are some guys who were important to get signed for those teams. But the market's still out there. You know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I do think that as we get to the cuts and things like that, you might see a trade like Montreal made a couple, like last year, when they traded two guys in Matt Taramina and Rinat Valiev to Calgary for one guy in Brett Kulak. I think you might see some 2-for-1 or 3-for-2 or something like that, where they can collect their assets and get a bigger asset that a team doesn't want to lose necessarily. And it'll, you know, Mark Bergevin is always, any general manager is always going to be looking for things. And if we know this situation, they know this situation is coming up. So they're aware of it, and it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward. But, you know, as we look, we have 6 more preseason games as of this recording. When you're listening to this, it's probably going to be down to about 5, depending on whether you listen to this before or after Wednesday's game. But there's a lot of questions, and that's what's fun about preseason. Wins and losses, I mean, sure, you want, you know, wins more than losses, but it doesn't really matter in the scheme of things. What matters is the drama and the development of prospects, and that's what we're going to be watching on Habs and Minded, on Habs Eyes on the Prize, and everywhere else that we are.
Can't wait for that first regular season game.
Yes, yeah. The meetup. Let's talk about the meetup. Yeah. If you're listening to this and you haven't seen on Twitter, and we're going to be promoting this a lot more heading up to the season opener on October 3rd, EOTP is having a meetup in Montreal at Microbrasserie for Origins. I will be there. Julian will be there. A couple other staff members will be there as well for Eyes on the Prize. It is free. There is a sign-up sheet. I'll put it out in the article of this of the podcast. So if you're listening to the, if you're reading the article, or go to HabsEyesOnThePrize.com, follow at EOTP_radio. We'll put it out there so you have the link. We're going to have prizes. If you RSVP in advance, you don't have to RSVP in advance. You can just show up. There's no charge. There's no ticket needed. What the RSVP does, though, it enters you into a draw for some prizes. And we'll have some fun prizes for you as well. So
somebody RSVP for me, please.
You have to be there to claim it, though. You have to be there to claim the prize.
Dang it. You mean I can't get Shana to pick it up for me? Or Shana?
I guess we could maybe do that, but that's not fair to everybody else. Staff can't win prizes. That's not fair to everybody else. That's a bigger problem.
Wait,
staff
wait,
cannot
on.
Win
I'm,
prizes,
I'm
okay?
Staff?
Yes, you can have a staff, Julian.
You write for the
site.
I
mean,
site.
I'm like, I write for tag, a lot of so places, yeah, you technically.
You do. And that means you're exempt from winning prizes in a lot of places.
You're staff for a lot of places.
But yes, join us.
I didn't think I was excited for hockey to be back. Yeah. I am so excited for hockey to be back.
Yeah, there's always a bit of a lull when you're like, oh yeah, hockey's back. And you're like, oh wait, this is preseason hockey.
They started chanting carry, I was like, yep, I'm really excited for hockey to be back, everybody.
It's going to be fun. I'm going to Toronto over the weekend as well for the PWHPA showcase in Toronto, which is going to be great. There's going to be so much talent, women's hockey talent on display there. If you don't have your tickets, if you're in the Toronto area, go to pwhpa.com. You get your tickets. If you're not in the area and you want to buy tickets for a young girl in Toronto or young kids in Toronto to see the games, you can do that as well. It's going to be great hockey. It's going to be a lot of fun. The games are going to be streamed as well at pwhpa.com. So pay attention to that as well. Julian, Namiko, thank you for joining me, and thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on Habs and Minded.